So, Father, as we gather this morning, we just thank you for teaching us. I thank you for teaching me about walking in the fear of the Lord. I thank you that you've shown us that all that you are is just constantly flowing out of you. All that love, all that goodness, all that awesomeness, the magnitude of your being. And you just cause it to flow out. And you've put the same Spirit in us. So, Father, as we study this today on continuing to look at your promises, your word concerning when we walk in the fear of the Lord, I ask you to just give us revelation in each of those areas in which we need it in our life. Make clear to us. Have things jump out, just like you showed me one yesterday, even about sleeping and rest. I just thank you that these things are just going to flow out to us today, and we're going to take them deep so that we not only hear them, but we become doers of them, and we walk in all the benefits that you've provided. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask that. It's in his name that we receive it, and we say, so be it, and amen. So we've been based on Proverbs 9:10, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is that which enables us to walk and do. So thus the title, Life in the Fear of the Lord. And we looked last week, and we're not going to go over them today just because we've got so many today, at six categories that pertain to walking in the fear of the Lord, promises. There are a bunch of them. So last week we looked at avoiding evil. We looked at blessings of the Lord. We looked at confidence. We looked at friendship and being his own. We looked at fulfilled desires. And we saw that healing is also a part of the benefits or the promises of walking in and living life in the fear of the Lord. So today I want to do part two of that. But before we begin it, I want you to look at Psalm 119, verse 38. And I had forgotten that I put this in my notes. I just wrote it in yesterday. But I think it's why I prayed what we did this morning. Psalm 119, verse 38, in my New American Standard says, establish thy word to thy servant, as that which produces reverence for thee. Let me read you a couple of other translations. No, I didn't bring those. So what that just jumped out at me is that he wants us to be established in his word. He wants his word to be producing in us constantly, consistently. So as we study that today, this today that we're looking at, let that love that he has for us just compel you and increase you in the fear of the Lord such that these things just get implanted in our hearts, because you can't separate him from his word. So let's start today. We're going to talk about honor and success, something that I think honor we want to receive, but we need to know how to give it, but also success. So I want to start with a one that's a little bit different in Nehemiah. So the book of Nehemiah. And this is one that I think has a personal connotation as well as one for our nation, which is why I started with it today. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 9. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like the way it reads as much in the New American Standard, but I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to read the Amplified, and I think it really clarifies it. Again, I said, the thing which you are doing is not good. So Nehemiah is offering some correction. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? So he's tying in something that they're doing and tells them you ought to be walking in the fear of the God, and you ought to be doing it because it's going to influence the way that the reproach that the nations who are their enemies are having on them. The Amplified says, "Also I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of the Lord our God to prevent the taunts and the reproach of the nations, our enemies?" The English Standard says, for that last phrase, "to prevent the taunts of the nations, our enemies." And the Complete English Version said, "We must honor our God by the way we live so that the Gentiles can't find fault with us." And as I was studying these and putting them together for this, it just dawned on me, that's what's going on with our nation as well. That's exactly what's going on. Because we as a nation are not living in the fear of the Lord, then we're bringing a reproach on ourselves, and we're giving our enemies a place of entrance to do harm to us. So this one was really, I think, an eye-opener for me, and it's one that you can see how, if the same thing is happening in your life, that people who give you a hard time, you're opening up a door for them just to keep pouring it on you. So it really ties back in well to the scripture we looked at earlier. In fact, it was in one of the first sessions, Psalm 85, verse 9, which says, "Surely his salvation," and I will say all that salvation includes, "is near to those who fear him." Why? "That glory may dwell in our land." So we want this glory to dwell in our land, and it comes through the fear of the Lord. So let that be one that as you pray for our nation, you can incorporate. And then again in Nehemiah chapter 7, the second verse. And this is talking about Hanani. And Hanani was he protected the temple. And look at what it says about him. "That I put Hanani, my brother, and Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, in charge of Jerusalem." So he's elevated him to a position of increased responsibility. Why did he do that? Because, or for, he was a faithful man, and he feared God more than many, or more than most. So I just thought it really interesting here that he's talking about, because he was faithful and because he feared God, he honored him. But then it dawned on me, a faithful man is a man who just consistently walks in the fear of the Lord. He's not in it one day and out of it one day. So those two tie together. But we see here that combination puts us in a position for the Lord to elevate us. And again, you're going to see this theme over and over. Him elevating, him promoting, him providing, not ourselves, not our works. In fact, you're going to see humility come in just a little while. Let's go to Psalm 25 for another one in this vein. So many promises concerning walking in the fear of the Lord, living life in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 25, verses 12 and 13. Now, we read verse 14 earlier in part of the study, and we're going to come back to it actually later today. But verse 12 said, "Who is the man who fears the Lord?" And then it says, "He, the Father, will instruct him in the way he should choose." Now, you're going to see that one again when we talk about guidance. But I read that because then 13 says, "His soul, the man who fears the Lord, will abide in prosperity." Another translation says, "will abide in good." Another translation says, "his soul will be at ease, and his descendants will inherit the land." So here we get more instruction about abiding in prosperity, about abiding in good. And the other part that we see is it also connects us back to our descendants, those who come afterwards. So again, choices we make today are so well influenced by the decisions. I mean, are the choices we make today influence the things that the Lord does for us. So here we get the first shot today of, and we'll see several more, about the concept of abiding in prosperity, having what we need on this earth, and I would say in every area of our life. Look at Psalm 61, the fifth verse. Psalm 61, the fifth verse. For thou, talking to the Lord, the psalmist praying, hast heard my vows, O God. And then it says, thou hast given to me the inheritance of those who fear thy name. Now the word inheritance there is also translated heritage. It's probably used in, it's used in the King James and the New King James. And one translation even says the reward. So we talked about in our previous study on diligence, the reward of diligence. Here we see that there is a reward, there is a benefit, there is a value to us, something that is our heritage. Now what is something that is your heritage? It's something you want to partake of. It's something that's given to you. You didn't earn that heritage. It's just what came to you. So again, it's all about His grace, not about what we're doing. But when we walk in the fear of the Lord, in that awe and reverence of our Lord, then we should expect the good things that He does for His people to come to us. Turn over, if you would, to Proverbs, and we'll look at a couple there. Proverbs chapter 22. The fourth verse. Now here's another one that introduces a combination to us. I told you you were going to see humility come back up. Here it is. The reward, or we could say again, the heritage, or the inheritance, what we have given to us, not that we earn. But the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord. So these two are going together. So what does a combination of humility and fear of the Lord produce? It produces riches and honor, which we're talking about here, and life. Now, what kind of life is it referring to? Is it just talking about life in the hereafter? No, I don't think it is. I mean, this is an Old Testament verse, so they didn't know about being born again and that God kind of life eternal. But what I believe it's talking about is not a quantity of life, in other words, how long you're going to live, but it's talking about the quality of life that He wants us to live while we are here on this earth. That quality. And how does that come to us? By humility and fear of the Lord. Now, what does the word say about humility? If you want more grace, then it tells you to be humble. So we begin to see that His grace is providing all this as we walk in the fear of the Lord and some of the other attributes that people will see concerning us as we do so. Proverbs 31, for you ladies. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, temporary. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be what? Shall be praised, shall be honored, shall be elevated. So here again, a promise for you. And us guys, we have to believe we're going to be honored anyway on this one. But we have a specific promise for the ladies that women will be praised, they'll be honored. Where did we see that before? Do you remember the midwives when we looked last week at the children of Israel? Because they honored God. They feared God more than they feared what would happen to them if Pharaoh found out what they were doing. Because of that, they were given what? Families and children and things that it sounds like they were having difficulty having. And so the Lord turned their evil back into good, it appears to me. Let's look at one more. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we're going to look at the 18th verse. So we're talking about honor and we're talking about success. Have you ever felt like in life that you were getting things and being blessed of the Lord, but it seems like other things were attacking you and it was going out faster than it was coming in? I think we've all experienced that. Listen to what this verse says. It is good that you grasp one thing and not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. So here is a verse you can stand on if you find that situation where it appears like things are leaving faster than they're coming in, and they're not leaving because you're giving them willingly. It's just not, it's the work of the enemy in your life. It reminded me of a verse in Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6, which talks about people who earn wages and they put it in a bag, and what's that bag got in it? Holes. And so as soon as they put in it, they're getting with one hand, putting in with the other, and losing it. But this says we can have both. Now that also reminds me of Malachi, where it talks about as we tithe, he will rebuke the devourer for us. And I think we'll see that one come up here again in a moment. Now look over at the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. And we'll wrap up this section with this one, talking about honor and success. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may even lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear the Lord. And then it adds this phrase, which I think is really interesting, who fear him openly. That we're willing to live our life so that others see we are living life in the fear of the Lord. We're not closet-fearing Christians, if I could use that way. We come out, and we're not as ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And what does it say about us? That it will be well with us. We have that assurance. So that's honor and success. Now let's go to loving kindness and compassion. And we'll start back in the Psalms, in the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. And there are so many good verses in this one. It's tempting to back up to the first part and start with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name," and just keep reading. But I'm not going to do it for time's sake. So let's start with verse 11. Verse 11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth." How high are the heavens above the earth? Endless. You can't see it, the end of it. "So great is his loving kindness." King James says mercy. This is the Hebrew word hesed, which is covenant love, which entails not only his love, but all of his covenant promises. "So high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who," what? "Fear or reverence him." Who live life in the fear of the Lord. Now, he doesn't say it just once. Look down at verse 17. "But the loving kindness of the Lord is from" what? "Everlasting to everlasting. On those who fear him." So you have a promise that not only is it as high, it's everlasting. It is never going to leave you. As long as we hold him first place, as long as we see him in the fullness of his awe and majesty, beholding his face, then he is saying that that loving kindness, we can have assurance, will never leave us. And now you can see how some of this ties in to what we see written in the New Testament, where he says, I will not, no, never will I leave you. Psalm 103, verse 13. Loving kindness and compassion. "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear or reverence him." Now, the word compassion there is interesting. It means to love. Then look at Luke 1:50. Luke, the first chapter, the 50th verse. And here's another verse that has a impact for those coming after us. His mercy, and this is quoting an Old Testament scripture that we just looked at, the Psalm 103:17. And so what was that word for mercy? His covenant love. So we're talking about a covenant-based mercy. Is upon, or a better word would be unto, generation after generation to those who do what? To those who fear Him. So as we live life in the fear of the Lord, as that stays upon us, then that mercy, that loving kindness, we have multiple words, Old Testament and New Testament, that tell us that that mercy is not going to leave us. It is everlasting unto everlasting. And again, impacting my children so that when I pray for them, and some of the prayers that we've talked about when we taught on prayer, and also even last week as we talked about some of this proceeding down generations, the decisions I make today, I can declare blessings on them. I can declare mercy on them because of the choice I make to live in the fear of the Lord. Now let's switch to one that is protection. So Psalm 33, verses 18, and then we'll read the first line of 19. We'll do that because we're going to read the rest of that a little later, I think. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, look at, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness. So the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, and then it adds, and on those who hope on His loving kindness. Now, what have we just seen about His loving kindness? It also comes with the fear of the Lord. So we don't have to just hope for His loving kindness. We can actually know that we're going to have that loving kindness because we are walking in that fear of the Lord. But His loving kindness and us walking on the fear of the Lord, look what it will do for us. The first line in verse 19, to deliver their soul from death. So we have a protection, both spiritual and a physical protection that comes to us when we walk in the fear of the Lord. Now look at the next Psalm, Psalm 34, and the 7th verse. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and does what? Rescues them. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear Him and rescue Him. Now, roundabout sounds like a shield over Him, doesn't it? And how many times can we think in Scripture when that term shield has been used? The Lord told Abram He was a shield unto him. We see in Psalm 5, verse 12, that His favor encompasses round about us as a shield. And there are five other scriptures that I have written down in my Bible about this verse, about being surrounded or encamps around, which brings protection. So this is a strong one, I believe. Look at Psalm 115, the 11th verse. Psalm 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. So I believe He's saying if we do have fear of the Lord, then we are able to walk in that trust for Him. And it says, He is their help and their what? Shield. So here again, we have this idea of the protection of the Lord, guarding us, protecting us, encompassing us round about, to keep us, and you see how it ties in with the previous ones. And now I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 19. Someone asked me, are most of the promises in, recently they asked me, are most of the promises of the fear in the Lord, are you finding them in Proverbs? But we see just as many in Psalms as well. So Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Now, what did we just talk about that life means here? The God kind of life, which is not only quantity or length of life, but what? Quality, the quality of life we live today. The quality of life we live today. So the fear of the Lord leads to life. Why? So that one may sleep satisfied. And then look at that last phrase. Untouched, it literally means not visited by evil. So that is a strong, strong promise to wrap this section up with. Not only can he not get to us, he can't even reach over and touch us. He can't lob something over that's going to impact us. You are untouchable when we walk in the fear of the Lord. And isn't that what Jesus said concerning the enemy? That he has no place in me. He can't reach me. So again, was there ever an individual who walked on this earth who held him in more awe and reverence than his son did? No, because he fully had seen him. He knew him so intimately. So now I want to move to a section on provision. And we're going to go back to start this off back in Psalm 33 where we were earlier. Sorry to making you go through. If you are interested in having a list of these promises by book and by chapter, I have that and I'll be happy to bring it or send it to you if you have that interest in having one organized like that. So I'm going to read here in Psalm 33. We're going to start with verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. That's not right. That's Psalm 34. Excuse me. It is. You want to finish it? And save those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of what? Out of them all. Now let's go to the one I intended. Turn the page correctly. I've just got too much marked in this old Bible. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. We read that earlier. On those who hope in his loving kindness. And we saw that they would deliver our soul from death. And look at this second line in verse 19. And to keep them alive in famine. So not only is he going to protect us, but when things get tough, when things get bad, when there is lack in the earth, this tells us that what? We will have no lack. That he will provide to us, even in famine. And so, as we think about the future and some of the things that are being talked about, even about the environment, we do not have to fear lack of provision during times of famine, because he will, this says, provide for us if what? If we're walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, go to Psalm 34, which is where my mind was, I guess, when we went here, down to the ninth verse. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. So here we see the same thing again in the very next psalm, the same concept. We have no want. We need to be concerned about no want. We need to be concerned about don't need to be concerned about our needs. We have no lack. It says we lack nothing. Now, what does nothing mean? No thing. So there is no thing that he's telling us that we will lack. Psalm 111 verse 5. Well, does that just mean he's going to do it the first round of famines that hit an area? No. Verse 5 says, he has given food to those who fear him, and that he remembers his covenant forever. So that covenant love, that loving kindness that we saw early, that it said it was forever, we see a manifestation of it here as we walk in the fear of the Lord. in that we're going to be provided for during times of lack and times of famine. So if famine comes, we've got three verses here that can tell us we will have our needs met in that physical realm. Now look over a few pages to Psalm 115. And in Psalm 115, I want to look at verses 13 and 14. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. And then let's read the first line in 15. May you be blessed of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, maker of heaven and earth. So what is the promise here? That we are not only just going to have food met, during food provided during times of want, our needs met in that physical area, but I believe he's telling us the blessing of the Lord is upon us. And during times of lack, we can look to that blessing to be our provision. Now, I want to call attention to something we said last week. Notice the phrase in here, the small together with the great. King James, I believe, says the great and the lowly. If he's increasing the great, then they're going to get greater. If he's increasing the lowly, then what are they soon not going to be? The lowly. What does it say he's going to do for the lowly? One scripture says he's going to take them off the dung heap. So we don't need to just see ourselves as eternally destined to stay in a low position from his provision. We need to see that increase is ours so that we can live more and more comfortably. And we'll talk about that in the very next one. I like the way the New King James says it. May the Lord give you increase. But it's not just increase. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my children to prosper as much or more than I desire it for myself. That's why I believe the Bible tells us that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, and not only his children, but their children. So that is our heart's desire, and we see it manifesting here. Now, don't turn there because you'll remember. We looked at Psalm 22:4, and it says, if we walk in the fear of the Lord and humility, I believe, Proverbs, then what does it say? Riches, honor, and life. So here's that riches part coming back once again. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I want to address one more time with you. We've looked at some of these scriptures, and I made this comment earlier in a previous study. But people get hung up on this word riches or being rich. I don't believe being rich is about having X amount of money. $50 doesn't make you rich. $100,000 doesn't make you rich. $1 million doesn't make you rich. What makes you rich? I believe it's the definition that we get for prosperity and riches in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Which tells us, and this whole chapter 8 and 9 is about wealth. It says, and God is able to make all grace. So this that we are receiving from him concerning these riches, all these things about being supplied during times of lack, is part of his grace coming to us. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. And then here's the word that. In order that, I would say. In order that, always having all sufficiency in everything. So let's put that in a better English that we would talk in. I've always got my needs met, my basic necessities. That's a promise. But that word that not only applies to it, but he wants us to abound in this grace. Why? Second part of that verse, that we may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, when I first read that verse, I thought, Lord, with all the needs, how can you be meeting every good need? And he spoke to me and said, every need that I tell you to be involved in. He's not expecting us to meet every need of every individual in this world, or even every individual that we know. There have been multiple occasions with my three boys, with each of them, where the Lord has told me, don't do this. And it's talking about where I was thinking about giving something. He said, I want them to see I'm their provider, not you. Now that sounds tough, but it's not frequent, but it has happened. And what is he doing? He's trying to renew my mind to the fact that I'm beginning to see myself as their provider. And if I begin to do it, then they're going to look at me. And I have one son who said, I don't want you to give to us anymore because I want to trust God to provide it. So this is just a warning to us about this provision. And that's why I believe he's entitled what we'll be doing here shortly in the Wednesday night services at High Point on provision with purpose. You have a different purpose with your provision than Wade does. Wade has a different purpose in his provision than I do. And we've got to each be led of the Lord so that we're doing what he wants us to do, sowing and giving in those areas that he's instructing us in. So the last one that I want to look at here is wisdom and being led of the Lord. So we've kind of had a natural lead in to that one. Now let's go to Psalm 25 once again. Psalm 25. Now, we read this on the way to 14 earlier, but we're going to stop and pause on the second line of verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? So he's saying, who's living life in the fear of the Lord? And look what it says about him. He will instruct him. He will instruct you and I the way we should choose. Do we see that in Scripture? Sure. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, I think it's verse 19, he says, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And then what does he tell them to do right after that? He tells them what to choose. So he says he's going to tell us that, but we're not going to discern that unless we're walking or living life in the fear of the Lord. Now, this also ties into a verse that is one of my favorite verses in the Psalm. And it's Psalm 32, the 8th verse. Psalm 32, the 8th verse. So I'm looking at this as an extension of the value to me of walking in the fear of the Lord. The 8th verse says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. So we can see that tie, right? And look at this next line. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Now, he's not just going to look down to see what I'm doing today. He's constantly looking. He's constantly got his eye on me. He says, I'm the apple of his eye. Same thing applies to you. So he's constantly looking at us, seeing where we are, seeing where we're going, and fine-tuning. Do this, do that. Move this direction, move that direction. So often, we look for the Lord to make big movements in things. But I have found in my life, it's those minor course corrections that he does. I had a friend who had an airplane, and I loved to fly in the right seat with him, which meant he was the pilot, and I just got to play like I was the co-pilot. But I learned enough that I could fly that plane even in some IFR conditions. And the other thing I learned is that if you put it on autopilot, that what autopilot is doing, you're doing constantly. And that is, you're constantly making minor course corrections. Because if you get off just 1 degree of the compass and you're going very far, you're going to miss your destination by a long way. So it's these minor course corrections. And sometimes those are the ones we ignore. But that's going to put us right back, I think, most of the time in our wealthy place. Standing in Psalm 25, if you'll turn back to there, I want to look at the 14th verse, the second part. 14 we looked at concerning intimacy earlier. The secret of the Lord, and that word literally means counsel or intimacy. We saw that last week. is for those who fear him. And look at this next line. And he will make them know his covenant. So not only is he going to lead us, he's going to lead us in the way of his covenant, in the way of his promises, so that if we are truly led by his Spirit and let the Lord lead us with his word and his Spirit, then we're going to stay right in the middle of his will in the midst of all those covenant promises. So again, course corrections when we need to. Psalm 111 verse 10. And for me, as we've gone back through these, and I put a lot of this together years ago, but it's just increasing the depth and the solidity of the foundation that I'm standing on as I just see more and more of him revealed, or as I remind myself more of who he wants to be in my life. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see that same phrase three times in Proverbs. And then look at this one. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. How about if I add, do his commandments of wisdom? And then look at what is the result of that as I am instructed by him, as I'm led by him, as I walk in his wisdom. And do his wisdom. It says his praise endures forever. I'm going to be in a position where I'm constantly praising God for all the goodness. Because of all the good things he's doing to me as he leads and guides me and pushes me, propels me in the way that I should go. Not shoving, but just gives me the light to walk in that way. And then Proverbs 9, the 10th verse. And I go back to this one. You'll understand why in just a moment. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've read that several times. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How do we get knowledge from the Lord? How do we get knowledge of the Holy One? We do it through those times of intimacy, through those times of fellowshipping with Him, through those times of listening to what the Spirit is telling us to do, that guidance we are talking about. But how do we get it most of the time? We get it most of the time through His Word. And that's what I want you to see here, is that he says when we walk in the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, that the knowledge of the Holy One is going to come. So it's not about how smart I am or I'm not. It's not about how well I like to read or don't. It's about, as we walk in the fear of the Lord, he's going to convey to you, when you open his word, knowledge concerning him and his holiness. I can't tell you how many people say way too often, I just cannot understand the Bible. Those are some of the words that I think the devil is trying to put in our mouth and that he contends for getting us to say so that we are prophesying our future, thus the study that we're going to begin next week. In closing, Ecclesiastes 12:13, and I'm going to read this in the Bible, the basic English, BBE. This is the last word. All has been said. Have fear of God. Keep his laws, because this is right for every man. Now, as I said when I first read this to you 2 weeks ago, before we started looking at these promises, the Message Bible is not one that I read every day. It's not one of my favorite. It's not even a translation. But I like what it says in this verse. The last is and final word is this. Fear God. Do what He tells you. Now, I'm not going to make that the last verse for this study because I want us to talk about this next verse, Proverbs 15:33. But it ties right into this. What does the New Testament tell us about knowledge if we use it incorrectly? Knowledge does what? It puffs up. It makes pride come to the forefront if we're not careful. This verse says, the fear of the Lord is instruction for wisdom. We've seen that. And before honor comes humility. Before honor comes humility. As I was putting these notes together at the end of last week, the Lord just brought this verse up to me and said, don't get to a point where you think you're walking in the fear of the Lord and don't start comparing yourself to others. Jesus is the standard. In other words, what is He telling us? Stay humble. And with that humility we've already seen comes more grace. The more grace we get, the more thanks we get. As we stay humble, it just cycles and we build and grow in the fear of the Lord. So, I trust this has been a blessing to you going through these promises. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Living that life that He's given us in the fear of the Lord. And again, don't get to a point ever where you feel like I can't understand it. I can't walk in it. Because we've got promises that said He's going to lead us every step of the way as long as we walk in that fear. So Father, as we close today, we thank You for teaching us. I thank You that today, things from Your Word have been planted deep within us. Those things that we need for this moment. Father, I thank You that we've seen all aspects of Your provision, of Your goodness, of Your grace flow to us and be increased as we walk in this. All in reverence of You. So Father, as we close today, I just encourage these with me to magnify the Lord. I make You large in my eyes. I make You larger than any problem that this world can present to me. And so, Father, we exalt You. We exalt Your name. We exalt Jesus. We exalt the Word. And we thank You so much for placing Your Holy Spirit in us. I bless these ones that You love so dearly, that You've separated unto Your heart. I thank You for the fellowship we have, and I just speak peace to them as they go, living their life in awe and reverence of You. And it's in Jesus' name that we're able to do it. Amen.